Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and Pain Train Pipe Bomb Productions. You all know who I am, so there's no need for me to introduce myself, but ladies and gentlemen, this is an episode that will be very difficult for me to do. I'm sure everybody would realize that this is something that is obviously completely unplanned because this is based off news that I got about 2 hours ago when I was at work. All of a sudden, an independent pro wrestler that I'm close to and I'm very good friends with, Mr. Corey O'Neill, on his Facebook, based on what I saw, apparently at first I could not believe what I was seeing. So then, of course, I hop in on Twitter, and apparently what I originally feared was indeed true. Terry Funk, ladies and gentlemen, passed away at the age of 79. Man. And you know, the thing for me and Corey, and along with a lot of our other wrestlers that we both know, Terry Funk represented Texas in such a brilliant and unique way, much like the Von Erichs. I always tell people, yeah, the Von Erichs were a huge part of the state of Texas, not only in wrestling, but a huge and positive representation of Lone Star State as a whole. But so was Terry Funk, and of course, Dory Funk, his brother as well, and their father, Dory Funk Sr. A lot of professional wrestlers from Texas have greatly represented this state over the years, over the decades, from generation to generation to generation. The Von Erichs were extremely unique in their own way, and so was Terry Funk. Now, everything I've learned from Terry Funk is from what I've learned from interviews from other wrestlers, like Mick Foley, of course. Things I've seen, you know, the tapes, you know, things that I've read, you know. What Terry Funk did in the world of professional wrestling, to say that it was all unique is just an understatement. Terry Funk basically pioneered the hardcore wrestling scene. And it's hard to say that he just simply pioneered. I mean, it's just, what he did in hardcore wrestling was so cool, so unique, so creative, so authentic that it's mind-boggling to kind of understand and how to explain what he did. Because for me, no matter how it's explained, the fact is, I liked it. Fans have liked it. Whether it was fans in Japan, in the United States, wherever. Anything that Terry Funk did, it's still talked about today, and it's going to be talked about for all eternity. You cannot talk professional wrestling without ever once mentioning Terry Funk. And this is not just talking about hardcore wrestling. This is talking about professional wrestling as a whole. Terry Funk did a lot of good things for the sport. Terry Funk is forever a legend. He will not be forgotten. He's gone, but he will never be forgotten. May he rest in peace. God rest his amazing soul, and I'd like to send out and express my deepest condolences to his family and to all of his close friends. Terry Funk, you will be missed. And honestly, the fact that Terry Funk is just such a positive influence that so many wrestlers have considered him to be a mentor, a teacher, and most of all a friend, the world of professional wrestling died a little bit today. Every time a legend passes away, the business suffers and is greatly affected by it. Because when I say that every superior athlete is unique in his or her own way, Terry Funk is just yet another example of that. So mark my words, there will never ever be somebody, a wrestler quite as talented as Terry Funk. Not just as far as wrestling ability goes, but the unique, brilliant art of speaking on the mic, nobody will ever be like Terry Funk. And right now, honestly, aside from doing this episode, all I want to do for the rest of the day is just watch Terry Funk's matches and his promos. And quite frankly, I don't even know where to start as far as his matches go. Now, of course, the one thing that stands out is, of course, the I Quit match against Ric Flair back in 1989, which is actually considered to be one of the greatest professional wrestling matches of all time. As a matter of fact, if I'm correct, that match got a 5-star rating from Dave Meltzer. I've seen the I Quit match between Ric Flair and Terry Funk. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Man. Terry Funk's career spanned over 50 years. 50 years! Made his debut back in 1965 and retired officially in 2017. And I do say officially because over the years, Terry Funk had numerous retirements that ended up being short-lived. I simply say Terry Funk just simply could not stop doing what he loved to do more than anything. Terry Funk loved the professional wrestling business because it was his life. Terry Funk was professional wrestling, much like many other legends. Terry Funk was professional wrestling, and I want everybody who's listening to this, say that to yourselves. Terry Funk is still professional wrestling. He may be gone, but he's still professional wrestling. So I should take that back. No, Terry Funk was not professional wrestling. He still is professional wrestling. Y'all can just see how affected I am about this. You know, his influence in the pioneering of the hardcore style of wrestling, you know, speaks for itself. You know, I'll never forget, like, in the 90s when he had that feud with Cactus Jack. I mean, I can't just sit here and explain to you guys what he did. Like, what he did with Cactus Jack in Japan. Everything he's done anything that Terry Funk has done, I'm going to give some of my thoughts, but you guys need to see it for yourselves. Now, I don't know exactly. I mean, I'm sure on YouTube there's only so much Terry Funk's stuff that there's on YouTube. But, you know, if you truly want to learn and understand the impact that Terry Funk had on the business for so long, for, you know, over 5 decades, you have to see it for yourself. You know, this is like one of those situations where I say, if I had a time machine, I would want to go back in time and watch a lot of the stuff that Terry Funk did. You know, from his early career, when he started again in 1965, when he wrestled for a promotion known as Western States Sports, and when he started in 1965, Western States Sports was actually the wrestling promotion that was based in Amarillo, Texas. Now, remember, back in the day when pro wrestling was territorial, here in Texas, in Dallas-Fort Worth, we had world-class championship wrestling, which, of course, was the territory of the Von Erichs. So in Amarillo, they had Western State Sports, which was the territory of Amarillo, although according to my research, the Amarillo territory, Western State Sports, which was, again, headquartered in Amarillo, Texas, it was actually kind of expanded a little bit because they promoted shows in cities like Amarillo, Abilene, El Paso, Lubbock, Odessa, and San Angelo, which, of course, all those states are in West, all those cities, rather, are in West Texas. But they also expanded because they also did shows in Albuquerque and Colorado Springs, and I think they also did some shows in Oklahoma. So it was good to see that a lot of these territories expanded a little bit. Like, you think of Vern Gagne's American Wrestling Association. They didn't just do shows in Minneapolis. I mean, they would do shows in Chicago, Detroit, Winnipeg in Canada, and they also did shows in Denver, Colorado. So it was good to see that these particular territories were able to expand, you know, kind of basically go off their regular, you know, like, lines, basically. So that meant that the fact that they were able to promote shows in cities, you know, far beyond the Amarillo area, it meant that the promotion was a huge success. And, of course, when Terry Funk and his brother Dory took over the promotions as the promoters, I think they were the promoters there from 73 to about 80. They actually, I think the Funk family sold the promotion in 1980, and then it closed its doors in 1981. So basically, you know, around the 70s and 80, and then from the 70s to early 82, you know, Terry Funk was actually working in these NWA territories, I think mainly in Florida. I mean, in 1975, when Terry Funk defeated Jack Briscoe for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship in Miami, Florida, I mean, That actually had to be one of the best moments right there. So, basically, much like everybody else, he started out in the territories, and then I think in 1981, Terry Funk actually arrived in Continental Wrestling Association, and then he had that feud with Jerry the King Lawler. So, and of course there was a match, I think there was a match in Memphis, Tennessee, like that. So. But, we jump into basically, this is where Terry Funk, in 1972, when he arrived in Japan, wrestled in Japan for close to 20 years, from 1972 to 1991 for All Japan Pro Wrestling. I mean, him and his brother Dory, those dudes just established themselves so well in Japan. And at first they were heels, but I think they eventually became babyfaces, so... I think basically those times, I think they worked many matches with so many Japanese wrestlers back then, and I'm sure there was a time they actually worked with the late great Bruiser Brody, as well as Stan Hansen. So for such a long time, spending all those years in Japan, and then in the 80s as well, I think Terry Funk actually had a brief run in 1985 to 1986 with the World Wrestling Federation. And this was not long after Vince McMahon took over the promotion. So, and I think actually before that, I was doing the research. Before Terry Funk actually arrived in the WWF in 1985, he briefly wrestled for Vern Gagne's AWA up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So I'm not sure exactly. I think it was around that time when Terry Funk started the cowboy. He was wearing the cowboy hat, but he also had that thing he used to carry the ring. I think it was some that sort of iron, which was part of his character. So that's basically, I think, where we kind of started seeing the character change in Terry Funk. Like, I think before that in Japan and everything, he kind of like, I think his gimmick was like similar to the Von Erichs, a cowboy with a cowboy hat and, a brawler, a tough physical brawler. And of course I'm doing this with my fist because I can't help it, but learning a lot from about Terry Funk's career is just, again, it's difficult, but, I think basically it was around the 80s where we kind of started seeing a different CM Punk. So, and I think at that point, he actually had that feud with the Junkyard Dog. And then I think he was actually part of he did wrestle actually at WrestleMania 2. And then I think a few times he did challenge Hulk Hogan for the World Wrestling Federation title, of course, which of course, I imagine Hogan, retained several times. So as I'm kind of looking at it right now, yes, Terry Funk was in fact featured at WrestleMania 2, and he was actually on the card that was at the Los Angeles Memorial Sports Arena. So Terry Funk actually teamed up with Hoss Funk, who of course was Dory Funk Jr., who of course is his brother. So and to see the Funk brothers, team up together, at WrestleMania 2 is, it's amazing. They defeated Tito Santana and the Junkyard Dog, so it was good to see that somewhat his first run. And of course, the fact that he challenged Hulk Hogan for the title several times. He ended up leaving in 1986, and then of course, from 1986, to 1989, I'm not sure exactly what Terry Funk had been up to during those years, because he didn't go to WCW until 1989. So, of course, there was that feud with Ric Flair, and, of course, that infamous I Quit match. So, man, so I think that time, in WCW as well, that feud with Ric Flair, it speaks for itself. And I think he briefly had a feud with Tully Blanchard as well. So then after that, in the late 90s, in the mid-90s, when he basically had returned to Japan to work for a promotion known as International Wrestling Association of Japan. I mean, that's where we thought that, if we thought Terry Funk was hardcore then, in 1994, 1995, he took hardcore to such a whole new level. Of course, that feud with Cactus Jack. I think it was in 1994, it was the King of the Deathmatch tournament, if I'm correct, which was in the fall, well, the late summer of 1995, so it was in Kawasaki. And then the final of the match was, Terry Funk versus Cactus Jack, and it was basically a no-ropes, barbed wire, exploding barbed wire boards and exploding ring-time bomb death match. I literally had to write it down in my notes on my laptop. because I wanted to basically get it right as far as what kind of match it was, because I think it does matter, so. But man, I mean, Terry Funk had so many death matches throughout 1995 in Japan. I mean, the Japanese fans loved it. I mean, it worked. Yeah, Terry Funk and Mick Foley, God knows, you know, what they put themselves through. I mean, the fire, the barbed wire, I mean, Jesus. But you know what? They established a legacy. And you know what? The death matches from the 90s that Terry Funk had, and you know, that match, you know, with Cactus Jack, everybody still talks about it today. They're going to be talking about it for 10 years from now. They're going to still be talking about it 50 years from now. Hell, 100 years from now. You see, that's the point I made earlier in this episode. Whatever Terry Funk did, it's going to be talked about forever. Because, again, Terry Funk is professional wrestling. So then not long after that, he goes to ECW. I mean, now you're basically thinking, like, no, Terry Funk at that point is really starting to age a little bit, but... But I gotta tell you, Terry Funk never slowed down because, again, you know, this is what he loved to do, and honestly, he just wanted to add more into his already well-solidified positive legacy in the world of professional wrestling, but most importantly, in the scene of hardcore. So, when he goes to ECW, I mean, I think basically at that point, later in his years, you know, according to some research, he did actually kind of... He went from the traditional Southern style wrestling, and of course he went to more hardcore wrestling as well. So he basically wanted to kind of like, I'm not sure exactly. He wanted to kind of modernize his style as well, but you know, it's hard to explain really. But you know, everything he did at ECW, I mean, another feud with Cactus Jack, had a feud, you know, with The Sandman and Sabu. I mean, oh, man. I mean, it seems like everywhere, like I said, you know, everywhere that Terry Funk went, a major positive impact was made out of it. So, and I'll never forget, actually, in the late 90s, this is actually kind of before I got into professional wrestling, he returned to the World Wrestling Federation, and then I think he first arrived, you know, he was Chainsaw Charlie, which was, of course, a character based off... Leatherface from the Chainsaw Massacre. So he teamed up with Mick Foley, and then of course in that feud with the New Age Outlaws. So man, that feud with the New Age Outlaws, you know, I'll never forget, you know, when they actually at WrestleMania, when Cactus Jack and Chainsaw Charlie defeated the Outlaws in that dumpster match, and they won the titles, but they lost the titles the next day. And of course, I'll never forget that promo that Cactus Jack cut when he supposedly turned heel. Man, it was amazing. So from those later years, I had to do extensive research, you know, right, of course, before this episode, you know, to kind of like understand what he did. So Terry Funk did return to, he did briefly return to ECW in 1998. So I think he was, I mean, I'm not sure exactly how that turned out, so. It was tough. So I think in mid-1999, I think there's that story where he supposedly retired again, but he did return to World Championship Wrestling, and became the WCW Hardcore Champion. He was a three-time WCW Hardcore Champion and did win the WCW United States Heavyweight title as well. So, but then soon after that, you know, he competed primarily on the independent circuit, but in 2000, from like 2002 to 2004, you know, Ring of Honor, you know, of course in 2002, Ring of Honor, you know, all of a sudden emerged, and Ring of Honor was still considered an independent promotion at the time, along with Major League Wrestling. So Terry Funk was actually a regular competitor for both Ring of Honor and Major League Wrestling. So he worked CM Punk several times. I mean, which I didn't even know. It's just amazing what you can learn from just doing a little bit of research. So. Man, and of course, you know, MLW, you know, closed, you know, for a while. I mean, I'll never forget, you know, it reopened back in 2017, so, man. So for him to basically, you know, have those matches with CM Punk, I mean, it was great. And then when WWE did the ECW One Night Stand in 2005, according to some research that I did, I'm sorry, I'm so excited and emotional right now, it's hard to talk, but... But I think there was a time, actually, now I kind of lost my train of thought. Yes, so he was offered to work at the ECW One Night Stand in 2005, but he turned down the opportunity. I think if I remember correctly, he actually turned down the opportunity because he wanted to work a show that was actually held, that was actually put together by Shane Douglas. So, and that particular show, he actually competed in a three-way barbed wire match, and I think Sabu ended up winning that match. But I don't remember who the other third competitor was, but you know, he did actually in 2006 he did actually appear at that ECW One Night Stand. So he did briefly return to WWE in 2006 when, I'll never forget, he confronted Mick Foley. I mean, this was like 2 weeks after Mick Foley turned heel, attacked Tommy Dreamer, and then, you know, formed that alliance with Edge and Lita. And I'll never forget that promo that they had, you know, in the ring. And then, of course, this was to build up the match between Tommy Dreamer teaming up with Terry Funk and versus Mick Foley and Edge at ECW One Night Stand. I mean, if you've seen that match, I mean, I'll never forget that one of the spots in that match, but man. And I think also in 2004, when TNA Wrestling was just first getting started, of course at the time it was called NWA Total Nonstop Action Wrestling, he did actually appear there in February of 2004 when he actually, teamed up with the Sandman. But, and I think also at the time, you know, there was also a time where he actually worked a match teaming with Raven as well. So, so that's just about it for that. But going back to that brief run in 2006, so you know, in that match with him teaming up with Tommy Dreamer, I think there was a time where in the spot where he was injured, his eye got injured by Mick Foley with barbed wire, and then Funk went backstage but came back to the match and had a cloth over his eye and appeared to have been bleeding. I mean, whether that was for real or not, I mean, Terry Funk just can't. I mean, he can't be stopped. But then you kind of remember, if you remember the infamous Hell in a Cell match with Mick Foley. I mean, the fact that Terry Funk, from what I said, even Terry Funk tried to tell Mick Foley to stop the match. I mean, that sometimes boggles my mind. But I've never honestly known for sure if that was just part of an act. I mean, if Terry Funk legitimately begged Mick Foley to stop the match, but of course Mick Foley didn't. You know, ended up finishing. I mean. Again, a lot of things that we just don't know. So now basically at this point, you know, I'll never forget, you know, as well in September of 2010, there was actually a match called Glory by Honor where Tyler Black, who of course we know today as Seth Rollins, that this was actually his final match, you know, in Ring of Honor, and I won't forget how Tyler Black wins the Ring of Honor title, and then reveals that he's going to WWE, and then says he's going to leave the promotion with the title. I mean, we've saw that from CM Punk. I mean, we've seen several Ring of Honor guys do something like that, so I'll never forget. So that match between Tyler Black and Roderick Strong for the Ring of Honor title, which was a great match. I mean, my buddy Mark Braverman, who's been on the show before, has talked to me about that match before, and Terry Funk was actually the special ringside enforcer for the match, and I thought that was pretty cool, so... So from that point on, you know, of course, you know, he's working all over the indies. You know, he worked a Wrestle Reunion event match in Los Angeles in early 2011. Man, one of those times, you know, of course, you know, did actually make some, I think in the fall of 2013, he actually made a return to All Japan Pro Wrestling where he teamed up with his brother, Dory, so... Man, and I think the match, you know, went on to be a 20-minute time limit draw, so... And of course, you know, a month later, he appeared at the House of Hardcore 3, teaming up with Tommy Dreamer, so... Man, so basically, you know, for all those years, I mean, in December of 2014, you know, once again, you know, he goes to Japan again, so... So he basically, you know, really, you know, spent all those years, you know, his final years, you know, working the independent circuit... And I believe one of his final matches when he teamed up with the Rock and Roll Express, you know, they actually, and I think that they teamed up, against the team of Jerry Lawler and his late son, Brian Christopher, and then a wrestler named Doug Gilbert, so. So then after that, when he finally retired for good in 2017, I mean, at that point, Terry Funk had made such an impact. I mean, you would have asked yourself, you know, what else could he have done? I mean, I think at that point, he's still kind of, I asked myself, you know, at that point, while he was retired as a competitor, I'm sure that he probably still, you know, would go behind the scenes, you know, and mentor young wrestlers, give them advice, it would not surprise me if Terry Funk even had roles as a producer for matches and, you know, things like that. So, I mean, Terry Funk basically, while he was finally retired as a competitor, I mean, he was still, you know, doing great things. You know, he was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2009. And him, along with his brother, they were inducted by the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, and, of course, WrestleMania 25 in 2009 was in Houston, Texas. So of course, Terry Funk and his brother are going to be inducted into the Lone Star State. And then 4 years later, Terry Funk inducted Mick Foley into the WWE Hall of Fame. So, and I'll never forget, I think in 2016, Terry Funk actually appeared in a segment, in a cameo segment with Dean Ambrose, who of course we know now as Jon Moxley. You know, Dean Ambrose, of course, well, Moxley, you know, of course, at the time, Dean Ambrose was going to work a match with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 32 in a no-holds-barred match. And then in that particular cameo appearance, Terry Funk, you know, gave Dean Ambrose the pep talk and then, of course, gave him that chainsaw. So I thought that was pretty cool. And actually, you know, even before that, I think that Mick Foley did something similar. Mick Foley actually gave Ambrose, you know, a barbed wire baseball bat. And Mick told him, you know, consider this to be a passing of the torch. And then, you know, when Mick Foley, to end his part, when he said, bang, bang, I knew it had to be the barbed wire baseball bat. Because, especially when he said, a passing of the torch, and then Mick Foley does his signature Cactus Jack, bang, bang. Yeah. Man. Man, oh man, oh man. Man. Everything he did. And, you know, of course, you know, doing the research, you know, I already had known that Terry Funk had actually had several movie appearances. But I actually had no idea that he actually, in the 1989 film Roadhouse, starring Patrick Swayze, Terry Funk actually had a role in that film as a bouncer. Okay, some of you may get angry at me for this, but I have not seen Roadhouse yet. I want to see it, I've just not had the chance yet. I don't know if it's on, I mean, I think it was 2 weeks ago I saw it on Netflix, but either Netflix or on Hulu, but I would not be surprised if they took it down because my timing with Netflix and Hulu is not very, very good. But seeing that, man, he had a role in Roadhouse, I'm like, well, now I really need to see. So, man, but man, you know, what a life and what a career. And in fact, you know, for the last couple of years, you know, Terry Funk, you know, has just been dealing, you know, with some health problems, you know, and things have just been tough for the guy. I mean, in 2019, Terry Funk's wife of 55 years, you know, passed away, and he became a widowed man. So, you know, and I think honestly, I think about like in June of 2021, I think that he was officially diagnosed with dementia like that. So, I mean, I don't know, but, you know, Ric Flair actually in December of 2021 did mention that Funk was actually back home and was doing fine. So it does not surprise me. Terry Funk was obviously dealing with some health issues as well, and of course, you know, his body just being destroyed from a career that lasted over 50 years. You know, I can't imagine, you know, how many operations he required and, you know, how expensive operations are. So, but man, I mean, it you know, honestly, With Terry Funk basically being in a better place now, he's reunited with his wife, you know, reunited with his dad, you know, and imagine as well, you know, Dory Funk. I mean, well, Dory Funk is actually, Dory Funk's older brother is actually still alive. So, but Terry Funk is in a better place now, and see, you know, everybody, all the respect that he's getting, looking at all the list of accomplishments, man. Everything he's done, I mean, it all speaks for himself. So, it really all speaks for himself. And, you know, of course, you know, the Wrestling Observer newsletter, you know, mentions, you know, the best, I mean, everything he did in 1989, you know, the best brawler in 1989, the best heel, the best on interviews, the hardest worker, the feud of the year with Ric Flair. I mean, again, I mean, that match with Ric Flair and what he did in 1989, it was huge. And the interesting part is, you know, and I didn't even mention this earlier, the fact that Ric Flair was the babyface and Terry Funk was heel, that kind of speaks something. So, But man, honestly, I mean, all the promos, all the matches. I mean, again, everything that Terry Funk has done, it speaks for himself. And right now, I'm fighting the urge of just wanting to spend the rest of the night watching the man's promos and watching his matches. I mean, I want to take it a step further than honoring the life and career of Terry Funk aside from this episode. I want to basically spend more time watching and maybe learning of the impact that he made. So to Terry Funk, thank you. Thank you for everything. Rest in peace, Terry Funk. God rest your amazing soul. Once again, I express my sincere and deepest condolences to his family. I will never forget the positive impact that Terry Funk has done, not only for the world of professional wrestling, but for anybody that truly looked to see and learn the art of wrestling as well. Terry Funk did a lot. His legacy lives forever. And once again, he is professional wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, Ringside Chaos is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube. Please do me a favor. Hit the subscribe button, and please be sure that you hit the notification bell. That way, I know for sure that you will not be missing out on any exciting upcoming content. And one more thing. If you know somebody that loves professional wrestling, please let them know about Ringside Chaos. Because Ringside Chaos is the show for anybody out there that loves professional wrestling. Thank you very, very much, ladies and gentlemen. God bless. Once again, rest in peace, Terry Funk. You will be missed. Thank you.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.